This is a stunning product, quite possibly the most beautiful product we've ever designed. The computer is in an 8-inch cube, and it's suspended in a stunning crystal clear enclosure. There's also a slot load DVD drive, but where is it, you ask?
Hello and welcome to the Coldcast Best 30 plus minute Apple conversation you're gonna hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today with a long flowing mane, in his youth he was known as the British Fabio. Leander Caney is here. The whole world needs to see that pic of you coming to the United States.
Why did you bring that up? Someone just sent that to me. Said they found it somewhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I took a picture of it at your house and I posted it on Instagram. I wonder if that's how they found it.
Yeah, right. So let's make it around. So.
Also with us, his chiseled pecs each reside in a different zip code. Buster. Is here.
Hey.
Back with us also to share more weird and wild stories from the cult of Mac. David Pierini is here as well. Hey, David.
Hello.
What's on the tap this week for weird and wild stories?
So these two Mac geeks were dating, and they set this ground rule about Christmas gifts. Everything has to be handmade this year. Irfan, you know this guy because you wrote about him in 2012. Roberto Hoyos.
I do know Roberto, yes.
Yes, yeah, Roberto Hoyos.
I know
Hoyos.
Him quite well, actually.
He sewed a bunch of pillows that were shaped like the OS X dock icons.
Yes.
And long story short, he and the girlfriend broke up, but the pillows today
have endured,
and he has a successful business, and we're going to run a story on Cult of Mac tomorrow about it, and
cool.
I'm looking forward to talking to you a little bit more about him
plot
in the next
twist,
half hour.
I did a podcast with Roberto
for
2 years, so I know him pretty well. Did he mention that?
He did not.
That's hilarious.
Dirty secret he wants to keep under the table.
Right.
That
probably a good reason.
That could be, yes.
Yeah. Well, for any listeners that we have from User Friendly, keep it friendly. And we also have lots of great Apple news to cover this week. We'll be covering some Thunderbolt display rumors. If for those of you that are looking for a new Apple monitor, that may excite you. Why you may have to wait 3 years for your major iPhone upgrades. This is a very sad rumor. I hope it's not true. We'll talk about that. And then Cult of Mac breaking it wide open with some spy photos of the big MacBook Pro refresh. Leander, I don't know how you guys got a hold of these.
Oh, we've been working these contacts for years.
Super hard journalism. Yeah.
Just hard.
journalism. Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Wow. I'm just thoroughly impressed. I know you guys are just working those sources. And it looks like it was fruitful. These photos look totally legit. And there are some interesting things on this MacBook Pro casing. We'll talk about that, of course. Before we hop into the news, let me say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. You can build a beautiful, responsive website quickly at squarespace.com. You can build an entire website that will look great in minutes. Check it out, squarespace.com. Enter offer code CULTCAST at checkout to get 10% off your first order. That is squarespace.com. And Leander, tell us a bit about your favorite bear. I don't mean the one that wears leather and dances for you.
Oh, the other one, huh?
The other one,
The tunneling bear. So, yeah, we'd like to thank Tunnel Bear for sponsoring this week's episode of the Cultcast. And Tunnel Bear is a very easy-to-use VPN, super, super easy to use. Everyone from my mom onwards can use it. My mom uses it all the time to watch UK TV shows on her iPad, and she uses it. She uses the she tunnels to the UK. It's literally one quick swipe of a button. You just turn it on, tell it where you want to go, the UK, choose the country you want, turn it on, and it creates a tunnel all the way across the Atlantic to the UK. You pop up, at an IP address, and it looks as though you are in the UK for the purposes of watching television there. So, and it's super fast. She never has any problems. It's never glitchy. It's super, super easy to use, and you absolutely must have a VPN like Tunnel Bear if you are going to be surfing in public. It's absolutely top of the list. Never, ever join a public hotspot without, first of all, VPNing into a private network, because it secures all of your traffic and makes sure that you're not at risk from being hacked or spied upon. And it's useful to even use at home as well, as we've discussed in the past. It keeps your surfing private, and in this day and age when everything you do online is recorded, that's a good idea. Even if you're not doing anything nefarious, if you want to be have some privacy from trackers, advertising, online advertising, a VPN is definitely the way to go. So you want to go to gettunnelbear.com, gettunnelbear.com. You'll get a free trial. And if you sign up with that URL, we get credit. So they'll know that you heard about it on the Cultcast. And, yep, gettunnelbear.com for your free trial.
Actually, we were just talking about Roberto Hoyos, and he, after hearing your excellent Tunnel Bear promotions, signed up for it because he was in a Starbucks or something, and he had to send a wire transfer to someone. And, you know, in a public place like that, you really shouldn't be sending private information over the network, because people can snoop your packets. You don't want people in there snooping your packets, right? So
not.
He downloaded Tunnel Bear, and he's like, no one's going to be snooping on these packets. and then he was able to stay at the coffee shop and continue his private affairs without having to like leave and go to like a private network.
Right,
so if
yeah,
you're
yeah.
working in coffee shops and stuff, it's great for that type of thing as well. That's gettunnelbear.com. Okay, let's start with this, Buster. Let's talk about the Thunderbolt display, has been so long in the tooth. They haven't updated this thing has it been 5 years?
I think September 2011 is when they last updated it.
And odds are when they do update this thing, they're probably going to give it the 5K treatment, don't you think?
Oh, give me that 5K slimmer treatment. Because, I mean, if you look at the side of that thing, it's so thick, so wide.
It's gross.
Yeah.
It's gross. And you're talking about the current model is thick?
Yeah, the current Thunderbolt display is thick. So I feel like it'll go with that new iMac design where it's just super thin to the edge.
So why are people thinking potentially we might get an update sometime soon?
Because they're low in stock. That's basically the argument. Yeah.
Okay. but they're not low in stock everywhere.
Not everywhere, but it looks like supplies are dwindling. And usually sometimes when that happens, Apple's getting ready to do a refresh. And ahead of WWDC, that sounds like a nice time to like do like a nice developer type monitor, you know, pro monitor.
I agree. And we're going to be talking about the MacBook Pro spy photos here in a little bit. But I think it makes sense also in light of what kind of connections might end up on this new MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
Because if they update the MacBook Pro, I don't see how they could leave the current Thunderbolt display for sale. They're going to have to change it.
You couldn't even use it, could you?
Not even be able to.
You would
use
have
it.
To have an adapter, I guess, a Thunderbolt to USB-C adapter.
One of those mofo dongles,
which
I despise so much. So if you are looking for a new display, if you have a Thunderbolt display now and you're looking for a new one, this might be your month, my friend, because WWDC is just right around the corner. Let's talk about iPhone upgrades.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you sure? You might piss some people off with this news.
I don't even know if we should believe this story, but I found it to be rather disappointing and somewhat bizarre considering how frequently Android phones are updated. And so according to a report from the Japanese newspaper Nikkei, they say that Apple is switching its big upgrades to a 3-year cycle. So currently it's a 2-year cycle. You'd have to wait an extra year to get a major redesign. And this is interesting in light of the iPhone 7 for anyone that has seen the pictures and the plethora of leaks that we've seen for the iPhone 7 casing and all the different cases that will be released for it, they all seem to indicate that the update is going to be pretty snoozeworthy. It's not going to have a lot of major external changes. It's going to look, for the most part, exactly how your iPhone 6 or 6S looks now. And we were thinking, oh, well, it makes sense that they might be doing that for this version, because the iPhone 7S or the iPhone 8, whatever they end up calling it, is going to be the 10-year anniversary of the iPhone. So maybe they're saving their big changes for the 10-year anniversary, where they could just come out, give you this amazing iPhone that's going to put everyone into pure ecstasy mode, and Tim Cook's going to like kick the doors off the building and everyone's going to cry and it's going to be amazing. But maybe this is like their new cycle of iPhone upgrades. Doesn't this seem like a bad idea to you guys? Leander, what do you think?
It's disappointing. I mean, I wish they put it on a one-year upgrade, you know.
Well, that's what we thought they were going.
Well, there's no way they're going to do that, though. I mean, the first thing I thought was that they've got to be, you know, some of this has got to be to do with recouping their investment in all the tooling to, you know, because they're making, I don't know, 100 million or more. You know, that's got to be a lot of machines to make these things, a huge, huge investment in machinery and tooling and, I'm sure they want to recoup that. And even though they, you know, because currently they keep the older phones on the market, don't they? They're still making the iPhone 5s, right? The iPhone 5.
Yeah, forever.
And also, so they probably want to keep that around. That was the first thing I thought. Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, you know, Nick Kai was saying that it was because they've run out of major advances, right? Things they can do with it. You know, how much can you do with a piece of glass? And I don't know, you know, they've got the dual lens camera. I'm sure there's, so most of the improvements, I think, will come internally is the suggestion, which, you know, isn't so bad. They've been doing that on the S years anyway.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah. I mean, you know, maybe it's not that big a bad news if that's true, you know, if there aren't that many things they can do to add to it. You know, if it's like settled now that you're going to have a camera, a screen, you know, what else can you add? Hardware-wise, externally, you know, the improvements will come internally and to the software, which they'll continue to do on an annual basis. So I don't know, you know, maybe it's not that big of bad news.
It just seems like a weird move in light of iPhone saturation. Everyone has an iPhone now, so if you're going to get them to upgrade, it seems to me like you would need to give them some major reasons to do so, and not just internal changes. I mean, you look at the iPad, people hang on to their iPads forever, and they don't really make radical iPad changes all that often. It stays pretty much the same, and they just make internal changes. And so if you're trying to get someone to buy something every year, every 2 years, you kind of need to do something major. And I understand that it's hard, but that seems like kind of a lame reason to not do it. It's like, well, we can't do it. It's hard.
Well, Irfan, what would you want in a phone that doesn't exist right now?
Yeah.
Okay. That doesn't exist. Well, I think the number one feature besides wireless charging would be the ability to play that hologram game from Star Wars. Remember when they're on the Millennium Falcon and the holograms come up and they're battling each other? That would definitely be high on the list. This one's even better. It needs to have phaser capabilities so that you could shoot a laser out of it, like in Star Trek, and stun people when they're spewing political viewpoints that you don't particularly like. That would be handy in this election
cycle.
People who
are
being
really slow in the supermarket line in front of you, or getting in your way on the sidewalk.
Or people that drive slowly in the left lane on the freeway when you're just trying to go the speed limit. Like, if you could do something about that, add a feature so that their car explodes. Right. Or no, this would be more benign. You do something where you press a button and they are ejected from their car, but they land safely. because their seat has a parachute attached to it.
Ejected from the car, right? You're hopeless. You're not allowed to drive anymore. Out.
I hope Tim Cook is listening and taking notes.
He does.
Well, I'm hoping the Apple car comes with a big snow plow. You can just plow the drivers off the road if they're in your way.
That would definitely be useful.
Yeah, I've totally fantasized about that so many times. Although some guy, I was pulling up towards a stop sign a couple of days ago, and some guy came roaring around on the inside from me, like on the in the bicycle lane. I was like, "What the hell?" And then I realized, yeah, I was driving like the kind of a driver that enrages me. I was like doodling along, looking out the window, texting. I wasn't doing that.
You know, I think as guys get older, they drive slower oftentimes. Well, and they don't even realize it.
I drive slowly in the neighborhood, you know, because there's all these kids around, and I just think, I like that. People don't drive like that in Europe. People drive like crazy all around, anywhere, and everyone drives super fast. But the one things I liked about America,
even as they get older,
they have so many drivers and old ladies for sure, but people I think tend to drive much faster in London. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been there, so maybe things have changed. I doubt it. I mean, they were saying, like, in Rome. I mean, you know what it's like in Rome. Do you remember? In Italy,
nuts.
It's horrible. Yeah, the traffic there is, like, terrifying. Yeah. So one of the things that took me a little while to get used to was getting used to American driving. How it's much more, it's more sedate.
More casual.
Yeah, yeah. And some nights, sometimes it's kind of nice, right? So you don't have to get stressed out about it. But usually I'm always in a hurry or late. And also just bad driving. Doesn't it drive you crazy when people don't? When they pull up to a light and they sit there and then suddenly, as soon as the light changes, they signal to turn left and you're stuck behind them.
Oh, yeah.
That's like, what the heck? Yeah. Put your signal before.
my dad, he has some of those same driving habits. And sometimes when I'm driving with him, I just want to scream at him because we'll be driving and you're in like a 45 mile an hour zone and he's talking to you, having a great time. And you look over and he's going 25 and you're looking, you're getting all self-conscious and you're looking at the side mirrors and people are riding his ass like 3-4 inches away. They're super angry. And he like doesn't even notice. He's just on a Sunday stroll every day of the week. Yeah. And you're like, Dad, stop talking to me. Step on the frickin' pedal. Yeah. At least go to the speed limit because you're going to get a shot.
Mr. Elijah
it's going to be me in 20 years. I know it. Just having a great time and going 20. All right, let's move on to the meat and potatoes here. Let's talk about these spy photos of this 2016 MacBook Pro with the OLED touchpad above the keyboard. If you listen to our last episode, we talked a lot about this. There were rumors that Apple was going to be introducing a huge MacBook Pro update sometime this year. Hopefully, I'm hoping they announce it at WWDC and then release it, late Q3. But according to Ming-Chi Kuo, he thinks they're going to release it in Q4. I hope that doesn't happen. But in any case, Leander, you guys got some spy photos of this machine that I have to say look convincing.
Yeah, right. And if you're getting, this is a parts leak, so this thing is in or getting ready for production. So they do look totally convincing. Killian got them, and they show this strip for an OLED bar above the keyboard, which presumably would change, right? It would be adaptive and it would change depending on the kind of software you're using, so you get different kind of custom buttons. Yeah, it looks really cool. It looks really, really nice. It's very, very thin. It's only got two USB-C ports on either side, which is like a huge, that was kicked up a lot of controversy.
It's a huge departure.
Yeah, right. So no MagSafe, no Thunderbolt as far as we can tell. It's very, very pared down. And you're going to have to buy a whole boatload of dongles to plug it into your 5-year-old cinema display. Yeah, it's pretty radical. I mean, it's going to be controversial. It already is controversial. I mean, people are already screaming about it. I guess, the delivery date will be, will they announce it, Buster, do you think, at WWDC?
I think they would, but otherwise it would just be a jam-packed fall event.
Yeah, if they don't announce it this month, they'll probably have to wait until September when they have their iPhone events, which may or may not happen. I mean, the iPhone 7 doesn't look to be super duper exciting, so maybe they need to beef that event up. So that would actually make sense in that case.
Well,
but I would love to see them announce it at WWDC. Let's talk about the USB-C connectors. This is exactly what I was hoping they weren't going to do, but dreaded they probably would. So they have been making a move to USB-C in lieu of all other connections. This happened on the new MacBook. But I was hoping, I was praying to the technology gods, and I was saying, please, this is a pro machine. Let us have more connectors than just USB-C. I realize USB-C does everything, but we all already have accessories, monitors, things that connect to Thunderbolt. And for Apple to abandon it now, I feel like it never even really took off. And now here we are. It seems as though we're going to be abandoning it for USB-C. This is a major bummer for me. I mean, major, major bummer for me, especially to lose. If these case shots end up being legitimate, you're going to lose an SD card slot. You're going to lose Thunderbolt. You're going to lose HDMI out, and you're going to lose MagSafe, one of the best Apple inventions ever, all in lieu of USB-C just because it's quote-unquote convenient. Am I the only one majorly bummed by this? Probably. In this crowd, probably I am.
Well, no, but you're not alone. I mean, there was a lot of gnashing of teeth on Twitter and in the comments. Yeah. And a lot of people are really upset about that. So you're definitely not alone.
We're getting closer and closer to the MacBook wheel, where it's just one giant iPod wheel on the keyboard area, and that's it.
Yeah, they're paring it down.
They're just trying to simplify it. I know.
But I'm surprised
they have two plugs.
Yeah.
Right? True. They should just have one.
I'm glad they have two, at least.
Right. Well, this is so you can charge it and use some, you know, peripheral at the same time.
So you think it's not a big deal, Leander?
Well, not for me. I mean, until it got stolen, a MacBook, and I never plugged anything into it, ever, really.
To the Thunderbolt?
No. Well, to the USB-C. And that's true. I mean, you know, even you know, like I've had MacBooks forever and never really plugged anything in. I mean, you know, every now and again I plugged an external drive, but I didn't use it regularly. But then again, I wasn't doing, you know, any kind of like video editing work on it either. I know that people use these things as pro editing stations and have all kinds of reasons to put stuff, you know, to plug in external devices. So. It might upset some pro users, like you say.
But the MagSafe too. The MagSafe.
Well, you can
one of the best Apple inventions. I mean, how many times has the MagSafe saved your arse?
Yeah,
countless times for me. And now, at least it seems you're going to be losing that functionality unless Apple comes out with like a MagSafe USB-C charging adapter. I mean, and they may do that.
There's some third party ones you can get.
That's true, but do you think that Apple is going to leave such critical functionality to a third party?
Well, it looks like it, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You know, they've moved on from MagSafe, haven't they? So,
unfortunately, you might be right, yeah. But again, MagSafe. I probably end up tripping over my wire, so to speak, once a week, once every 2 weeks.
That clumsy?
And if that, yeah. And I was going to say, if it happens to me that often, it's probably every day for Leander.
Well, the kids used to like kick it across the room, and you're right. You know, like a couple of times they've kicked it, and it's you know, instead of flying across the room, it's disconnected. So it's definitely saved me. But
well, these pictures look convincing, and if they are, that means we're also not getting Touch ID, as was predicted by Apple analyst Min-Chi Kuo, and it also seems to be legit because the keyboard. Layouts. I was looking at the keyboard layout and comparing it to the MacBook layouts, and they look to be identical. So it seems pretty convincing, Leander. What do you think? Is this the machine we're going to see this year?
It looks definitely looks like it. Yeah. Did anyone translate? It had some Japanese characters on it. Did anyone translate that?
I was wondering that same thing. No idea.
Did you see anything, Buster?
No, I didn't.
It probably said something along the lines of "Top secret, do not leak to Weibo."
Right. Right, exactly. Yeah, that, but it definitely looks legit. Yeah,
yeah. It also had a headphone jack for those interested, and the speaker grills had been moved from the top right above the keyboard to the sides of the MacBook as they were on previous generations. So we shall see. I think that we're going to see this thing announced at WWDC. Does anyone want to make a gentleman's bet? WWDC or fall? Leander, what do you think?
What? Which one?
When are we going to see this machine introduced?
Okay, well, oh, I see. That's what the choice is. I say WWDC.
WWDC, I guess.
Oh, snap. David.
WWDC.
Oh, my goodness. They, it's unanimous.
They need something to announce at WWDC, and I think this would be a
You think they need a piece of hardware?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you on that one. Okay, well, before we hop into more weird and wild stories from the Cult of Mac, I want to address just a couple things from last episode. After we had our thrilling conversation on router and router technology, I'm not actually sure exactly what I said because I generally block out the last episode as soon as I release it and try not to remember it at all. But some people on Twitter and on our subreddit were mentioning that I had conflated some of my terminology when I was speaking about Wi-Fi technology, 802.11 and an 802.11ac. I said that the Apple router would switch you automatically between those two different technologies when, in fact, what I meant to say was that it would automatically switch you between 5 gigahertz and 2.4 gigahertz depending on what your signal strength was. For most people listening, you don't care. But for the five of you out there that actually know what I just said, you're nodding your head in approval and thanking me for correcting what I said last week. And then I also want to say, Leander, I hate to admit this, but you were actually right. I got sent several YouTube videos of Roxy Music.
Oh.
And they're pretty great.
Oh, really? You're into them?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. It was like it's like a mix between every 80s song I've ever heard and The Cure. At least to me, that's what they sounded like.
Okay.
And they had whimsical costumes, which I know is probably what you liked about them. In one of the videos, the guy was wearing like a golden eye patch, and I was like, okay, now I see why Leander really likes this band.
Golden eye patch.
They were all dancing like very minimalistically, but kind of like robots, and they were all wearing like metallic suits and stuff. Yeah, and I was like, okay, this makes sense.
Psychedelic art rock. But
and actually really quite good. This is the
great,
first time
yeah.
that yeah.
Get their live album. They did this amazing live album that is really worth listening to. Is super great.
What's it called? Do you remember?
Roxy Music Live. Oh, Viva Roxy Music.
Okay.
Viva,
V-I-V-A.
V-I-V-A. Viva.
Viva.
Viva
Isn't
Roxy
that
Music.
Also the name of a Coldplay album?
Probably,
I think it is.
Yeah.
Strangely enough. All right. Well, before we jump into the stories from the Cult of Mac, let me go ahead and say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. Oh, my goodness. Do you need a website? Do you have a business? Are you a photographer? Are you a videographer? Do you need a presence on the web? Squarespace makes it so simple to get started with a website. You can build a website in minutes. You just choose one of their templates. You can customize it as much or as little as you want. It's all drag and drop. You don't need to know how to code at all. And it's also very powerful. So if you want to dig in and customize every little thing, the font, where your images are, your image galleries, you can add all your social media. You can create a gorgeous professional website with as little or as much work as you want to put into it and have this thing launched in no time at all. And because you're using Squarespace, your website is going to be automatically scaled to look good on any device that visits. That's important because you don't know if people are going to be there on their Mac. You don't know if people are going to be there on their iPhone or their iPad. With Squarespace, you don't have to worry about any of that stuff because they do all the work for you. Plus, if you decide that you want to start selling products on the web, well, Squarespace includes their free e-commerce engine bolted right on there, and you can start an e-commerce website as easily as you can build a normal website. It's just all included in your Squarespace plan. Squarespace is what I use when I need to build a website. It's fantastic. It's like the Apple of the website world. And if you need a website, I highly encourage you to check it out. Head on over to squarespace.com. Squarespace.com. You can get a 2-week free trial. You can build a website And if you decide to continue your service, you can use code CULTCAST at checkout. You will save 10% off your first order. And if you order a year of service, you get a free domain name. I love Squarespace. I pay for it every single month, just like everyone else. That's squarespace.com. Okay, David.
Yes, sir.
I'm ready. I'm ready for some more wacky stories from the Cult of Mac. What do you have for us this week?
Throw pillows.
Throw pillows.
Yes.
Throw boy, throw pillows.
Throw boy, throw pillows. Company that currently is based in St. Louis.
Formerly Seattle.
Formerly Seattle. Soon to be Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get to that in a minute. But Throw Boy is this company that produces emoji pillows. So the kissy emoji, the wink emoji, the poop emoji now comes in a plush pillow.
Mm. Oh, man, I want a poop
everyone
pillow.
Loves that poop.
Yes, put your head on some poo. But anyway, this company got started quite by accident. As I mentioned at the beginning of the cast, Roberto Hoyas, the CEO of this company, and at the time, in 2007, an Apple Store employee, a Mac geek, was dating another Mac geek. And they decided they were going to make their own presents for Christmas. And so Roberto happens to know how to sew. And so he made these pillows that looked like the OS X dock icons. You had the system preferences. You had the smiley finder icon.
I think you had iPhoto in there.
iPhoto, iChat, and photo booth. And he sewed up these little pillows, and it took him 3 months. And the girlfriend loved him, of course, and she was working at a tech company at the time. And they blogged about these pillows. Well, it went viral. And Roberto's own website crashed from all the attention he was getting. And he decided he was going to start a company where he would make these pillows. The story actually begins several years earlier when he was 5 years old. In the app.
I would say more than several, yeah.
Yeah. So when
quite
he
a few years earlier.
His grandmother is a seamstress and one of the original employees of REI. And she used to sew REI clothing and camping things for the store in her attic sewing room.
I didn't know that. For those not in the U.S., REI is a huge outdoor store. They sell camping equipment, jackets, all sorts of stuff. They're massive.
Yeah, and Roberto, as a five-year-old, would go up there, hang out with his grandmother, and she taught him how to sew. And so in 2007, his ability to sew, his love of all things Apple, and kind of a knack for marketing that he had – all came together, and he formed Throwboy. It started out real small, where he was still, working out of his basement, sewing the pillows himself. But two things kind of happened to make this company go big. In 2012, Irfan, as you know, because you wrote about this, he made a plush toy that looked like Steve Jobs.
Yeah, the iCEO.
The iCEO, yeah. And I don't know how he did it. But he made this thing look like, the very layered character that we all know that Steve Jobs was, and kind of had this face on him like he had just been handed some sort of product prototype that he didn't like.
Yeah, he looks he looks pretty stern, doesn't he?
He does, and He
looks like he was just presented with a hand to shake and decided he didn't want to shake it.
Yeah, exactly. But you could still cuddle with it, which was cool. And he made 1,200 of these things. They all sold out, thanks to your story, by the way, Irfan.
Wow. The power of my writing.
The following year, exactly. The following year, he did a Kickstarter campaign to sort of ramp up production. And so that was successful. It took the sewing out of his hands, and he now manufactures these pillows overseas. They're in 1,000 stores in North America alone.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that high.
Bloomingdale's, yeah. He's kind of gone off into another direction. He doesn't have the original OS X icons anymore. The only pillow that survived that is the Finder icon. But you can get, like I said, the emoji pillows. You can also get the blue like button from Facebook or the red subscribe button from YouTube. Little pillows that say WTF and OMG. This is just kind of yet another story, and we talked about songwriter Perry Grip last week, where people have kind of tapped in to the emotional aspect of Apple culture and have kind of made something out of it that has nothing to do with software or an iPhone case. And he's now taking the business to L.A. so that he can be closer to the entertainment industry, and he's going to start doing some license-type pillows with YouTube stars and things like that. So he's a very creative guy, awfully nice guy, and I'm just rooting for him.
Yeah, he's done some collaborations with YouTube people in the past, and they've been pretty successful. The YouTube community has really embraced these pillows, especially like the subscribe pillow.
Yeah.
And you see them in everyone's videos. It's like a subconscious way to get people to subscribe to your stuff without having to actually ask people to subscribe to your stuff. It's just sitting there on your desk. You know, funny story. I think I met Roberto in 2008. I knew him when he used to sew all these pillows by hand. Like every order that came in, he would get on a sewing machine and sew them. And I think how we met was at the same time I had a graphic t-shirt company called Might Tees, and we had done a bunch of Apple-esque t-shirts that actually got covered on Cult Mac. And at that time I had a Facebook ad out, and he contacted me via the Facebook ad. Somehow he got a hold of me. He was like, hey, I also do Apple stuff. We're in the same city. And we randomly decided to meet, became friends, and then we ended up doing a podcast together, and I've known him for years and years because of that Facebook ad. Isn't that just totally bizarre?
Very small world.
Yeah. So really, we both kind of got, in a way, we both kind of got connected with Cult of Mac.
Right. Exactly. I was going to say, the other thing there is Cult of Mac making, you know, everyone go right. big.
Well, that's what Cult of Mac does.
Yeah, exactly.
Launch megastars.
Go big or go home. Well, and Irfan, as you know, timing is everything. And I'm sure this was the case with your t-shirt company. But with Throwboy, I mean, he started it right at the time when social media just started to blow up. You know, he really, you know, couldn't have asked for a better time and place for him to start. I mean, pillows. I mean, this just goes to show you that you know, no idea is too small. He continues to grow his company.
How big is this company? Did he give you any numbers, Dave?
The only number that he was really comfortable giving me was the fact that they were in more than 1,000 stores nationwide. They just got a big contract with Bloomingdale's. You know, I asked him about, you know, the number of pillows, things like that. And that's generally when businesses, you know, kind of beg off those types of questions. But, you know, he seems to be feeling very positive about the direction his company's heading. And he is constantly thinking about that thing that's coming around the corner. I mean, they've even developed their own characters. I think they're called Pillow Fighters.
Right.
And that started from a cartoon that they ran on the blog. So, yeah, I mean, this is, it's just fascinating that, you know, he's kind of tapped into this, you know, this thing.
How come he didn't get a nasty gram from Apple's lawyers about the Steve Jobs, plush toy?
I thought he did get one about the iCEO.
Yeah, I don't know if he did or not. That's a great question.
Probably because, he never called it Steve Jobs. I mean, it looks like Steve Jobs. So I don't think there maybe was a reason for Apple to reach out to him. And plus, a lot of people don't know this, but in a lot of states, once someone is deceased, you can use their image all you want because they're no longer living. So there's nothing against using his name or using his image in many states. There are in some. So you can once someone dies, you could, you know.
Free reign.
Yeah. I mean, Leander, I already got the El Caney plush doll lined up. As soon as you croak, I'm going into mass production on that. I'm going to do you. I'm going to do Waz. I'm going to have a whole selection of great plush dolls that you can go to sleep with, give to your kids, have your dogs chew on. It's going to be great. It's been really fun watching Roberto's company grow. I used to do like Comic Cons with him and conventions and stuff with him. It's funny hearing you pick up on the story, David, because I didn't talk to you about this at all. I didn't know you were going to be bringing this up. And so it's great to see his story be entertaining enough. I think parts of it are actually quite inspiring for you to actually pick up and run with it. So it's cool to see you giving him some coverage.
And I just love the story about learning sewing from his grandmother. Yeah, incidentally, his grandmother's still alive. She's like 92.
She's 92 now?
Yeah, and she's...
I've met her, by the way.
Oh,
I've met her.
I bet she's cool because...
She's very nice.
He continues to go to her with questions about design, manufacturing... and so she's kind of become this informal advisor to Throwboy. She's very proud of him.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like.
Beaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, can you imagine teaching your grandson to sew and then having him build like this big business out of it later in his life? That'd be pretty cool.
Oh, man.
Especially after watching him get beat up for it for years and years.
Well, and that's just it. It's not like he... you know, sat on the side of the playground sewing. You know, it was just something he kind of learned and he played with. And with the exception of sewing on a button or mending a pair of jeans, he didn't really use it until, you know, he started dating this person that he's no longer with, incidentally, that he said, hey, I could probably make these into pillows. And he actually had the icons. This is how big a geek he was. He had the icons printed out large and on his wall at home. And he just kind of looked at them and thought, man, these would be really cool 3D.
All right, David, well, what do we have? Do you know what we're going to be talking about next week? We can kind of tease the story a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about, these are going to be a group of stories of people who have made it big because of the App Store.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. That's really kind of been a game changer. We talk about Apple's great products and stuff, but that App Store is really... made a huge difference in people's lives by giving them a place to post and publish software. So
and make zillions of dollars.
Yeah. And as Buster pointed out to me earlier, you don't really have to be a coding genius to have success with the App Store.
Yeah, right? You could just make a game about a guy who flaps with birds. Jump up and down.
Exactly.
Wasn't that guy making like $50,000 a day? Okay, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. Then that's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come sign up for our plush pre-orders, we're on Twitter. I'm at Arifon. Leander's L. Caney. Buster's BST3R. David
at cultofmac.com.
that needs to be my go-to. David would like your emails. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys
next time.
Next time. On it. It's like we are thinking with one mind.
The Vulcan mind meld.
One giant, incredibly advanced mind. How's the weather over there?
Overcast today, but otherwise lovely.
Does it get pretty warm in spring?
It does. And, you know, maybe it's because we have bajillion lakes, but it gets downright humid here.
Ugh.
So I don't like it sticky.
Yeah, me either. I went to Hawaii a long time ago. That's what it's like there, too.
Yeah. I think the best time to go to Hawaii is like November, December. Because then it's like at least breezy.
Is it humid in those months?
Not as humid from what I hear.
Humid weather is not good for anyone, but especially for fat guys.
That's me.
Because, you know, your shirt just grabs on and just hangs on for the ride, and every bounce, it just comes with you.
And you get that under boob sweat. Yeah. Or should I say,
for guys
move.
Like Buster, though, it's perfect. It's like he probably rolls out there in his tank tops, his tight tank tops.
He doesn't sweat, he glistens.
He just shines.
It. Yeah, he does.
it just accentuates his physique even more.